All right, welcome back. We got episode 19 of the Gridiron Pulse. I'm here with my boy Carter. How are we doing today, brother?
Pretty good, man. Almost Friday. I don't know if you're a big UFC guy, but I'm so pumped for this UFC card on Saturday. My favorite fighter currently, UFC Sean O'Malley, going up against, I think, Mirab, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember. That guy beat him already, right?
Yeah, so this is going to be round two, so I'm super excited. Can't wait for the weekend. And I'm looking forward to great show here where there's going to be a lot of ranting.
I know, this is going to be great. We're going to start off hot. So something that we didn't talk about necessarily in the last episode was, I mean, it's all Braves related, but AJ Smith-Shawver is out for the rest of the season, likely with a torn UCL. Best case scenario, he's going to have that same internal brace procedure that Spencer Strider got, and we know that worked out so well so far. So I can't wait until he comes back and he's throwing 92 right down the gut with no command. So worst case scenario, he's got full Tommy John surgery. So, I mean, it's going to suck for him regardless, especially being such a young guy. He should be fine in the long run, you would think, as we're still all holding out hope for Strider. Obviously, I think he's going to be fine, but right now is ugly for sure, to say the least. And I got some Braves offensive numbers from this year pulled up, so just as we go along, I'll just be able to start pulling some if you'd like to.
Yeah, I'll probably have to reference some in a little specific rant. I'll go on here in a minute, but you know, it's just devastating injury. I mean, this season has been the season from hell, especially to start off the 0-7 start. Yeah. And then barely getting above 500. Currently 6 games below 500. Could be 7 after today. But I don't know, man. It sucks to lose Smith-Shawver. I mean, him and Drake Baldwin were up there for the favorites to be the rookie of the year this year. I thought AJ was pitching really good. You know, his last start he got a little bit lit up, and then the game where he got injured, I want to say he was pitching pretty decently, and then you know, it's just a freak. Like, I know he didn't injure his leg, but he got hit on that comebacker, yeah. and then you know he hurts his elbow. If you look at the video, he basically said like it popped, which is obviously not a good sign. And then of course we get the news that it could be a torn UCL, which is just devastating. You know, already to a back end of the rotation that's kind of been struggling a little bit with, you know, the Braves keep calling up Bryce Elder, which I don't want to slander him today. He's already had enough slander, but
he's been doing a lot better too.
Yeah. I was gonna say I know when he got called up, not this time, but the last time, he actually pitched really good against the Dodgers, and then unfortunately his last start, he was kind of back to normal, to his usual self. But I mean,
still only game three, like.
Yeah.
Should win that.
Yeah, I mean with how talented this lineup is, it should be very doable to score at least 3 runs, but this year it's hard to come by even just 1 run. It's bad, man. Like last night was literally just the cherry on top, man. Like second, third, no outs in the 8th inning, and you can't even score at least 1 run. You strike out 3 times in a row, which is just like most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. And then you know, we'll get into this next topic here in a minute about a certain player that should be sent down to AAA, but yeah, it's brutal, man. You know, Braves are currently playing right now in a day game, so I'm kind of glad that we're recording right now, because I would probably be forcing myself to watch the game. So but we'll see if they can get a win. I'm not holding my breath. It's been just brutal. It's not been fun watches. I don't know if you watched the game last night, Jacob, but a lot of the stadium was booing last night. And Which they are correct. This team deserves to be booed off the field for how pathetic they've been. How the offense has just been just so bad. Like words can't even describe how terrible it's been. I can't. But yeah, I'll throw it back to you. And that's kind of like my little mini rant, and then I'll get on another rant here in a minute about like I said, how a certain player needs to be sent down. But yeah,
just got a couple tweets from last night that are definitely gonna light that fire right back up again. When trailing by one run in the ninth inning, these are the Braves' numbers since April 29th of 2024. So quite a large sample size we're working with here. 204 average and a 550 OPS. Average with runners in scoring position, 182. Average with two outs and runners in scoring position, 0.083. Those are all worst in the league. I mean, it's just, it's really, really bad. And let's go walk you through that ninth inning, because there was a couple people they were saying that the other pitcher was doing well, and I guess Michael Harris's struggles at the plate were somewhat warranted from a good pitcher. So, I mean, he walked the bases loaded, first of all. Matt Olson walked. Ozuna struck out, but he swung outside at a ball four. Ozzie Albies walked. Eli White swung at the first pitch, so he grounded into a fielder's choice. And I think, was it Alan Williams? Luke Williams?
Luke Williams got hit by pitch.
And Drake Baldwin walked in a run. So we scored. We were down 2-0. And then Michael Harris struck out on four pitches, three of which were nowhere near the zone. So the argument was that it was okay. I mean, he was throwing good pitches out there, whatever, competitive pitches, and that he was dealing. And Trent Smallwood said he was dealing balls if you were actually watching. I mean, it was just bad. It was really bad.
Yeah,
you were talking about the eighth inning. That was the ninth inning. We had the bases loaded in back-to-back innings, down two runs, and scored one via a walk by Drake Baldwin.
Awful, man. I think Harris came up. He came up twice.
Yeah, he ended the eighth and the ninth.
Yeah, both times. Just like I don't know, like what his approach is, because I swear to God, he. Yeah, I swear to God, he just goes up there and just swings at everything, just hoping to make contact. I mean, dude, the ninth inning was probably one of the worst at-bats I've ever seen in my life. Literally, like, three straight swing and misses to end the game. It's pathetic, man. Like, he needs to be sent down to AAA, because clearly his pitch recognition is nowhere to be found. I mean, He may have like the worst eye on this team, and that's saying something. How terrible this lineup has been this year. Yeah. It's like awful. Can't even describe Michael Harris's approach to the plate every time he comes up the bat. Like he can't hit a fastball to save his life. He swings at all breaking pitches down and away. He swings at high pitches. What is the hitting coach telling this dude? Just go up there and pray, just swing at every pitch and hope you pray to make contact? Like, I don't get it, man.
Do we even have a hitting coach?
I don't know.
I'm the secret hitting coach. Just don't tell anyone.
hey, but the Braves replaced the third baseman with Freddy Gonzalez, so that was supposedly gonna help.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really going to do a lot, but
I think first things first, gotta fire the hitting coach. I mean,
agree.
It's really bad. Michael Harris has had 245 plate appearances this year, and he's walked 10 times.
That's just awful.
10 awful. Times. Yeah, it's not great for sure. Same amount of walks as Alex Verdugo, who has half of the at-bats. Yeah, other than that, least amount of walks on the team. with taking, with playing every game. But I mean, it's just abysmal to watch.
Yeah,
Raisel
like
Iglesias continues to struggle big time, just being the closer, closing out late games. I mean, if it wasn't for him, I guess we would have went to extra innings last night. But I don't know if I could have stomached to be able to watch that, even though apparently we're pretty good in extra innings. I know we have the best record in baseball since the runner on second extra inning rule had been implemented by a pretty wide margin too, and a pretty large sample size, because we do find ourselves in extra innings quite a bit. But they're usually in the most painful 1-1, 2-2, or 3-3 games that you've ever seen, and then just somehow find a way to get that guy on second home. I don't know why we can't do that in regular innings. Because, like you said, starting off the eighth last night, we had runners on second and third with no outs. Like.
it's that like we can't we literally have no words anymore. Like it's been that bad,
I
man.
mean, go out there and bunt, run at the pitcher like this with the bat and try to hit him. Like, I don't know, just cause some kind of chaos. Like, something's gotta budge, dude. Something's gotta budge.
Verdugo, speaking on Verdugo, he has definitely fallen off a cliff since,
Yeah.
you know, since he first came up. I swear, I don't think him or Nick Allen have even reached the warning track, like, at all this season. Like,
No.
Verdugo's too scared to swing the bat, just looks at strikes, doesn't swing at them. Nick Allen at least tries. He just doesn't have power. At least he tries. But Verdugo, it just seems like he just gets up in the batter's box, goes like this, and just doesn't swing.
With that
Like, just
just
watches pitches.
awkward, ugly batting stance. It's like, it's not even like Matt Olson, because people say it looks a little bit similar to Matt Olson, but Verdugo, I mean, he's up at bat right now. He's just like
Strikeout looking.
mean, it's just like he's not even willing to swing the bat. I don't even understand. Yeah.
Hey, let's go. We slandered him. He just got a double.
Let's
Let's
go.
go.
Nice.
Scored Ozzie. This lead ain't gonna last long.
We seem to start recording in real time, like during the
Yeah.
games, and just actively talk about every single player that's at the plate right now. Who's next?
Nick Allen.
Nick Allen, you want the smoke,
On
buddy?
cue.
Nick
On
Allen
cue.
swings a twig out there. He doesn't even have a baseball bat.
Hey, but I can't really slander him too much because he is a great defender.
Yeah.
So that's really the only reason why Michael Harris, I highly doubt Harris will be sent down to AAA just because they don't
Yeah.
want to lose his defense. His defense is spectacular. He
I mean, like
just can't.
how bad would it be to send him down for a week or two?
I
Just
don't know. I mean,
be like, "Hey, don't swing at a single pitch. Just look at him." And then strike out, whatever, get walked, whatever. Just work on your pitch recognition. Like, I wish it was that easy. I wish it actually worked like that, because I mean, it clearly doesn't. But he has been, I know we've sent him down before. It's not like he's been on the major league roster ever since he got called up. I remember him going on some hot streaks in AAA too, and then getting called up, and it worked. Like, why not? Like, we're at our wit's end here. Like, we don't know what to do. It's not because he's just been so bad. Like you said, he has been. He's an incredible center fielder. But it's like he used to be so good on offense. Like, he was always someone that, like, you were able to look forward to the nine hole to set up someone for Acuna coming up and batting first. So, I don't know, man. It's just really bad. Call up Trick again. I don't care.
I will add one more thing before we move on from the Braves, 'cause me and Jacob could rant about this for hours, but I don't know. It's time to call up Craig Kimbrel. I mean, he can't be as bad as Eniel De La Cruz or Rafael Montero. Like any of these just mid to garbage relievers that we have still starting. Like, I don't know if Kimbrel, like, just, like, killed someone in the clubhouse in Gwinnett. Like, I don't know the reason.
Been forever.
Yeah, and when he has pitched, he has like a 1.5 ERA. Like, what are we doing, man? Yeah. Like, call him up.
Everyone,
man,
was like at the beginning of last week, I guess, when he stopped pitching, everyone's like, oh, get ready. He's resting up for coming up to the Braves. Get ready to see Craig Kimbrel again. Get ready. And it's like, dude's just sitting in the bullpen, just playing tic-tac-toe during the games. Like, what is he doing? What is he making friends with all the 26 and 25-year-olds down there at AAA? He's almost 40, dude. Just get him up to the roster and just, I mean, if we can't hit 95 down the middle, why can't other teams not hit 95 down the middle? So I know he can at least do that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like, he can't possibly be as bad as Eniel De La Cruz or Rafael Montero, who both shouldn't have a job with the Braves. Like, and they also need to call up that flamethrower reliever. I can't remember how you pronounce his name, but last night he threw 102 on the radar gun last night in AAA. So call that man up too, please. Like,
send down De La Cruz and Montero. Give me Kimbrel and
DFA him.
Lara.
DFA them both.
Yeah.
They don't deserve to be in AAA for how bad they've been.
They're just taking up roster spots for our immensely talented young prospects that we have, right?
Hell, man, if Nick Allen continues to not hit a baseball, call up Nacho Alvarez.
Yeah. I don't see why not. I mean, Nacho, we called him up for a little bit last year. He wasn't great, but I mean, he definitely wasn't Nick Allen's dad. He, at the plate, I mean, he was better than a 565 OPS and a 230 batting average.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
It's worth a shot. He's struggling so bad right now. I mean, why not?
Yeah. I know we kind of mentioned this right before we started, but I don't know how Austin Riley's batting 270. I think that's a lie, because every time I watch him at the plate, he's waving at sliders like he's a rookie again.
Yeah, I think he's going back to, like what you said, Jacob, I think he's going back to his old rookie self, where he couldn't lay off a breaking ball, a breaking pitch to save his life.
And he can't time up a fastball either. I mean, it's awesome.
None of these dudes can, man.
No.
None of them. I swear, I think they only try and hunt breaking pitches, and then they just don't expect 99 coming right at them, and they just whiff, swing and miss, or it'll be a late swing, it'll be a ground out, pop out. Like, I remember, I'm old enough to remember when the Braves offense would destroy fastballs.
Yeah, it was only like 2 years ago, and then like 3 years before that. I mean, I think Chipper needs to be the hitting coach, but I'm sure there's a large portion of the fan base that agrees with me, and a large portion just doesn't think that he wants to for whatever reason. I mean, it is what it is, but I think whenever we get that managerial and coaching staff overhaul, that's ultimately what's going to happen. I just wish we had the ability to rip the Band-Aid off quicker and just do it now. Try and salvage a season.
You know, I don't think AA is gonna like fire Snicker. I think he's gonna do the right thing and let him retire on his own after the year, which,
and
I don't personally agree with.
Retire with a gun to his head. It's like, if you don't, then
I don't personally agree with that, but I mean, it's the respectable thing to do.
Just fire the hitting coach and bring up Chipper early, and then continue with your staff overhaul at the end of the season.
Yeah,
because I mean, the pitching's been fine.
Like, yeah, I mean, our rotation, I think, has like a 3-something ERA, which is great. Just can't hit a baseball, can't score.
I feel bad for Chris Sale last night. He did the Paul Skeens classic, man. Dude. One run given up, lost.
I mean, if I was Chris Sale in that clubhouse, I'd smack every single one of them in the face.
Yeah, honestly. Scoring, giving up one run, and getting a loss.
Losing.
It's just Brutal.
Paul Skeens 2.0.
Yeah, he's Paul Skeens negative 1.0 because he's probably old enough to be Paul Skeens' dad, but that's a little bit beside the point. But yeah, his sale's been at it for a long time, man, and I feel bad for him because we were able to be so good for him. And even last year during his starts, I mean, he won the Cy Young for a reason. I mean, he literally goes out there and he throws two pitches. It's crazy.
Fastball and slider away. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Slider's absolutely unreal, disgusting. All right. I'm tired of talking about the Braves.
Damn, new 20-minute rant about the
Got anything
Braves.
else?
No. Oh.
We are winning, by the way.
Yeah. Rare. I do want to make a quick comment. I just want to put a little PSA out there for us too, Jacob. When you pointed this comment out to me on our TikTok clips, we both are diehard Atlanta sports fans, whether that's Georgia, Braves, Hawks, Falcons. And I don't understand people who, when someone critiques their team, they just immediately call them a bandwagon and just makes it makes just absolutely no sense at all. Like we have high expectations for the Braves. They're not supposed to be 6 games under 500 with the amount of talent that they have. They should be where the Mets are, and the Mets should be where we're at. And I don't know. I just wanted to make that quick comment that no, we're not bandwagoners for saying that this team stinks, which they do. We just have higher expectations. So, wanted to add that little
Yeah, I
comment
mean,
there.
you're looking at two people who have watched just about as many baseball games as you can watch since like 2014, 2015, and we were not good back then. So,
Shout out Drake Baldwin too. He's been balling too. I know. I forgot to mention him in the last episode. Shout out Drake Baldwin. Should be should win the Rookie of the Year this year.
he has been awesome. He is second on the team in OPS behind only Acuna with a small sample size. He's got an 880 OPS, 315 batting average. I mean, slugging 514. There's not much more that you can ask for here with old Drake Baldwin, except for get the man more snaps. I mean,
Facts. That's a different
somehow
conversation for later.
find a way, learn left field, something. I don't know. Put him at shortstop. I don't care. Stick him out in center field and say, hey, you have an arm and a glove. You know how to run. Go do it. Bad.
Damn,
Find a
dude,
way.
20,
You're
23 minute.
paid to play professional baseball, and the front office is paid to manage professional baseball players. Figure it out.
If I would personally start Drake Baldwin every day until he starts slumping, and then you put Sean Murphy back in. But
Figure
that's
it.
just me.
Put Ozuna in left
But
field, shoot him up with horse tranquilizers in the hip before every single game so he can go out there and run. Whatever.
that man's playing on a torn hamstring.
Give him the horse tranq. It'll do something. Just look at all the NFL players who break their shit and then come back 3 plays later hobbling like, oh, I'm good. Put me back in, coach. Good Lord, man.
Damn, dude. 24-minute rant on the Braves. Not bad for two bandwagoners,
Yeah,
supposedly.
no. It's definitely just a couple bandwagoners here. That's fine.
Big casuals.
Yeah, we want to preview the NBA Finals again first, or talk about Thibodeau.
We could do Tibbs, and then we
Yeah,
could save NBA
Tom
Finals
Thibodeau,
later.
who apparently used to have a mullet, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that picture on Twitter.
Tom Thibodeau got fired after taking the Knicks to the Eastern Conference Finals in 6 games. I mean, what in the world, dude? That's their best finish to a season in 25 years, and he gets fired. He was coach of the year not too long ago, either.
Yeah, when I first saw this news on Twitter, I honestly I again I thought I was
You
getting
thought
sent help.
it was Sentel. Yeah. I was like,
Yeah.
what?
But I don't know what the Knicks are doing. I'm personally not the biggest fan of Tom Thibodeau just because I think he doesn't utilize his bench as much as he should, and his starting five basically plays damn near almost 50 minutes a game, which is
The
just
entire
insane.
game.
Yeah. But no, I don't know what the Knicks front office is thinking. I mean, you guys were had your best season in 25 years, and you decide to fire your head coach and move another direction, which I don't get it. I definitely think that the Knicks fan base had an off and on relationship with Tibbs. Like I said, with just him not playing like the Knicks bench a lot, basically playing their starters for the whole rest of the game. But honestly, I really just don't have a clue at all. I don't know what the Knicks are doing. I mean, they were literally a couple games away from going to the finals, which they haven't been to the finals in years. So I don't know, but as a Hawks fan, this is hilarious because I don't like the Knicks.
Yeah, no, I hate the Knicks too. I mean, the one thing I have to add here is he's clearly a defensive-minded head coach, and they had one of the better defenses in the Eastern Conference this year with a roster comprised of not necessarily the best defenders. So, I mean, you'd have to think a lot of that defensive production came off of scheme and coaching. So I just wonder how much their defense is going to fall off next year because, I mean, Jalen Brunson is a horrible defensive point guard. I mean, if you want to, people can talk crap about Trae Young, whatever. They're the same size, and it's just a mathematical disadvantage for a small player trying to guard a 6'4" plus ball handler. It's just not easy. Karl-Anthony Towns is a bad defensive power forward. I mean, he's slow. Gilbert Arenas said he's built like a woman. He's got them woman hips. He's not fast. I mean, he's just kind of just like laboring around all over the place. And like, granted, he can go out and get you 35 a night if you wanted to. But a lot of the Knicks' success was based off of that defense. And that's why they gave the Pacers such a good series. I mean, it's going to be really weird. They're either going to hire another really good defensive coach, or they're just going to try and score 200 points a game, and they're not going to be able to do that, and they're just going to be bad.
Yeah, just being a Hawks fan trying to score 200 never works. The Hawks haven't had a good defense.
We've gotten close a
Got
couple
yeah, gotten
times.
close. Ever since I became a Hawks fan when I was little, I've never seen a good Hawks defense. They always try to outscore their opponents, which never works. I will say I don't know if Josh Hart is still under contract with the Knicks, but I would love the Hawks to go after him because he's one of those I guess you could say like junkyard dog players where he puts a lot of effort on defense. But I mean, we still have Dyson Daniels, but it'd be cool to have Josh Hart come off the bench whenever
Yeah.
Dyson goes to the bench. So I would love him. I guess you could. I mean, Mikal Bridges played pretty good defensively in the playoffs. He had two game-winning defensive possessions against the Celtics. I remember literally the same plays 2 games in a row and won them both of the games. So, was it worth the 5 first-round picks that they traded away? No, but I mean he's not a bad player. It's gonna be real
Always jumped him
interesting to
out.
see. It's gonna be a yeah, his jump shot's cooked, but it's gonna be interesting to see how if the Knicks defense is still as good as it was this year next year. I agree with you, Jacob. I think the coaching from Tibbs definitely was the leading proponent in their defense being as good as it was, so should be interesting. I haven't seen a list on who the Knicks are potentially targeting for their next coach, but I did see that the Suns hired the assistant coach from the Cavs.
Yep.
I've never heard of him before, but
Yeah, I didn't recognize his name either.
yeah, so that's one team that does need a coach, so I would imagine the Knicks are probably going to go after high name guy.
Doc Rivers.
That would be so funny. I did see that Rick Pitino and Dan Hurley already said no to the jobs. So you and the Knicks fans can go ahead and cross those guys off the list, which I especially after Dan Hurley was offered the Lakers job last year, I don't think he'll ever go to the NBA. And then Rick Pitino, I mean, he's building up that St. John's program, so I don't see him going to NBA after he there's or he after the season that he just had with St. John's, and then bringing up that program more. So should be interesting. But yeah.
The only one that I've seen that you didn't mention was potentially Jay Wright. I know he's been in media for a couple years, but it's just another name to
Interesting.
throw out there. I think he would probably be pretty darn good. I mean, he was great with Villanova, and he clearly knows half of their roster because they all came from Villanova. So that one kind of seems like a match made in heaven. The real question is do you want to get fired if you make the Eastern Conference Finals? And that's it. So I don't know. That's just a wild scenario to fire your coach after you make the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's not like you got swept either. I mean, you gave him a great series. But whatever. Let's keep it on the NBA. Talk about the finals once again. Make a couple clips out of this. We got Pacers at Thunder. Game one. So we're going to give our finals predictions just right off the bat. I'll go first and you're going to go. And then we're going to explain later. All right. So for the NBA finals, my original prediction from last episode was Thunder in five. So I'm going to go ahead and stick with that.
My original prediction from last episode was Pacers in six, and I'm still going Pacers with six, baby. Let's go, Indy.
All right, so I think it's going to be Thunder in five, but I mean, I hope not. There's a great chance it's not. I mean, if the Pacers steal one of these games on the road, I think that's going to be huge for them and could propel them to hopefully. I mean, whenever I look at the NBA Finals, I want a 7-game series. So I think the recipe for that is for the Pacers to take one at home and then basically just trade off wins and losses for the entire time. Same team doesn't win twice. I know that doesn't normally happen, but it's just from a unbiased viewer's perspective, the most fun to watch. But that game starts tonight, so hopefully the Pacers can steal one on the road. That would be great for them. And the Pacers are 9.5 point underdogs right now, according to my CBS Sports app, plus 350 on the money line. And I know I read that the Thunder are -700 to win the NBA Finals, and the New York Jets have better odds to make the playoffs than the Pacers do to win the NBA Finals. So do with that as you will, but I hope the Pacers win, but I think it's going to be Thunder and five.
I won't be entirely surprised if the Thunder win this series in convincing fashion, but I'm going with my gut tells me, and I'm going Pacers in six. I just think I think the Pacers match up really well with OKC size. They have size all over the floor with, you know, Haliburton's a taller point guard. Miles Turner's really tall center. He's athletic center. He can score, grab rebounds. I think Obi Toppin matches up well just in terms of his height. He's not as good as Jalen Williams, but I think he definitely can match up with him well just in terms of size and getting boards off misses. So that's really like my deciding factors. I think that both teams kind of match up well in terms of size, and I'm riding with the hot hand in Indy. I think OKC having a little bit of time off, especially for tonight. I actually have the Pacers winning tonight. Just I think OKC's gonna be a little bit sluggish because they had all that time off. I think the Pacers are gonna come out firing. I think it'll be a close game, but I think Indiana steals game one tonight on OKC's home floor.
Yeah, that would be awesome. The one question I have, who guards SGA? Do they have a plus, like, they have like a Dyson Daniels or like a Lou Dort.
I mean, again, that to me is going to be the whole deciding factor of this series.
Because it ain't
I
gonna be
mean,
Halliburton. I'll tell
no.
you that. Dude, it's oh buns.
I guess you could say TJ McConnell, even though he's shorter, but he's decent
He's like
defender. I mean, he's
35.
yeah, that or maybe you could put, I guess you could put Ben Shepherd on there on Hal or Halliburton, SGA, but I know it's definitely not gonna be Tyrese Halliburton
No, what about
because
like
he can
Nembhard or Nesmith, or is one of those guys a
could
good
be
defender?
it could Nesmith
Because
could do
Shea is
Nesmith or.
huge. That's the one thing that people don't give him enough credit for. He's like a 6'6", 6'7", like pure ball dominant point guard. And Tyrese is similar. He's like 6'4", 6'5", so he's matches up in size, but the
Yeah.
athleticism and just overall defensive acumen is just not there from Tyrese.
Yeah, I completely forgot to mention Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith. It could be one of those two. I thought both of them were pretty decent on Jalen Brunson in the last series.
Yeah.
And I didn't even mention Pascal Siakam. I think he's gonna be matched up on Jalen Williams, and then Obi Toppin will match up I'd imagine probably for either Holmgren or Hartenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess like I said, I think Pacers really do have size. I think their size is going to match up well with OKC's size. They're a really big team all around. But the X factor of this series is going to be Siakam. I think he's riding a really hot hand from last series. He definitely put up a lot or really good scoring games against the Knicks. So I think he's going to be the X factor. And then give me for Finals MVP, I'm going to say Tyrese Halliburton wins Finals MVP.
I would like to see that.
It's the boring answer, but
He didn't win Eastern Conference Finals MVP, which I definitely
Siakam.
thought he would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if my series prediction holds true, it's gonna be SGA Finals MVP, and I don't think it's gonna be very close. But back to that question, who's gonna guard SGA? The only right answer is everyone. Like, it's gonna take a little bit, if not more than a little bit, from everyone on the floor. He's going to get his calls, he's going to get his fouls, so you have to guard him without fouling, and that just makes it even more difficult. Very curious to see how they're going to execute that, but I think it should be a
Yeah.
good series.
Yeah, the problem with OKC is they could do the Trae Young effect that teams do to him where they blitz him all the time, but they have, Jalen Williams, Chet, Hartenstein is good for close shots. Lou Dort, who I think is severely underrated, really good defender. Alex Caruso, I mean they have a ton of dudes, so
Yeah.
I don't know if they're gonna do the all-out blitzing on SGA and probably make someone else beat him. Because I mean, Jalen Williams could easily give you 20 plus. So and Chet, a lot of guys could. So should be interesting, but I think
Yeah,
it'll be a good series.
they have one of the more like deep and well-rounded teams that I've seen in the NBA in a long time. 'Cause even those Golden State Warriors teams that just won all the championships, like they were very top heavy. Like, they had
Yeah.
good young role players off the bench, but not anyone like super, super notable. But I mean, the Thunder bench is just filled. Like, they can go 12 deep on you and just have everyone rested for the entire game. But,
Still going with my pick though.
oh yeah.
Still going with my gut. Pacers in six. I'm very confident, so let's
Have
go.
to. Thunder in five, also very confident. We'll see who's right on that one. All right.
Oh,
We're gonna switch it over to, you want to talk about this? What's going on here?
an interesting development, people. The Braves are up 6-0.
An offensive
Six to nothing.
onslaught.
Hey, look at this, man. Austin Riley, who we slandered, he has an RBI single. We didn't really slander Matt Olson. He has a double. Ozuna, who we just talked about, he doubled. He got two RBIs. Ozzie Albies, who we have slandered in past episodes, he has an RBI.
We are 5 for 7 with runners in scoring position today, Carter. Can you believe it?
Dude, I'm
is this real? I mean, I know you saw my eyes. I'm going like this the whole time. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, is this real? And then, of course, Nick Allen grounds out. But besides the point, up 6-0.
Yeah.
Up 6-0.
Hey, there we go. Just don't give up more than 6, and you're going to win. It's crazy how that works. Baseball is such a simple game when you just boil it down like that. All right, let's make a switch over here into some football news that we have. We got a couple of topics here, one of them in college with UGA and one of them about the NFL. But we can go ahead and start with Georgia. Got a big-time recruit here a couple days ago since we last recorded our episode. We got Justice Fitzpatrick. If that name sounds familiar to you, it should. It's the little brother of Minka Fitzpatrick, one of the best safeties in the NFL. And I'm just very excited about this, obviously, with the NFL pedigree and another one of Kirby's big-time relationships paying off. Kirby was the main recruiter for Minka and all of the DBs while he was at Bama, being a safety himself in Kirby. Justice is a very high-rated 4-star. He's probably going to get that 5-star bump. I mean, he chose Georgia over the likes of Alabama, Florida, Miami, Ohio State, and Texas. So, I mean, if you're anybody in college football, you wanted this kid on your team. He's listed as a corner. He has tape at both corner and safety for obvious reasons. I think he's going to be just another lockdown corner for us. I think he's going to stay true to the position. It's pretty big for a corner, too. 6'1", 6'2", carries a 195, 200-pound frame well. I'm just really glad that our coach is Kirby Smart, and he's known this kid since he was, like, 6 years old, recruiting his older brother.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this pickup. Obviously, the name speaks for itself. I remember Georgia, when they played Alabama a few times when he was there, he was one of their best players on defense, and I think Justice has definitely has the same amount of talent. It may even be more talent than his brother. So, to be honest with you, Jacob, I really thought he was going to go to Bama, just obviously with the tie-ins to his brother. But you know, thank God Kirby Smart is our coach, because if he wasn't, that man would have been committed to Alabama since he's been like 10.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited. That definitely, Kirby is definitely recruiting a lot for our secondary, which I am very happy for. Because I think, especially after this year, I think our corner room is going to be a little bit. I guess you could say, like, not really dried out, but there's gonna be a lot less people, obviously. I'm very excited for this. I'm not surprised. I, obviously, being the biased Georgia fan that I am, I thought, you know, with Kirby being the head coach and him being the main recruiter for Minka, I thought this was pretty much basically a no-brainer. But I wouldn't have been surprised that he would have went to the dark side in Tuscaloosa, but I am super glad that he is on our team. So, major props to Kirby. Another W. Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, this one's all relationships. Yeah, the NIL is going to be there for sure. Like, we have a structured tier that we're going to pay you regardless. Like, you're a good recruit, you're going to get paid. But ultimately, the relationships won out here for old Kirby and the boys. I pulled up the 2026 recruiting class rankings now, updated. So I know we entered the month of May. I believe we were like 15th or 16th in recruiting, and we're all the way up to number 6 now. So we usually make that late May, June, July push. I would bet my bottom dollar that we finish with a top 3 class, because every single year since 2017, which would have been Kirby's first class, we have had a top three recruiting class and the highest blue chip ratio in college football. I don't expect that to change now. We've done it for, I guess, what, 3 or 4 years now in the NIL era? So that hasn't changed anything. We just got the dogs on our staff that are willing to go out, put in the time with the recruits, the relationships, and because, I mean, everyone's paying them. It's if you're all getting paid, it's like, yes, there's people who we like to call bag chasers who just want more money. But in the end, yeah, for real. In the end, it's everything else that kind of rises to the top, because if the money's a given, it's like, where else in the recruiting can you make a difference?
Yeah, for sure. And then going back more on Justice, I agree with you, Jacob. I think eventually he's going to get that 5-star rating. You know, and like you said, also, he has tape of playing corner and safety, which obviously very versatile, which you can play him at any position, which is huge. Especially if, like, down the road, Georgia has a really loaded cornerback room and there's just, like, not, I guess you could say, like, not enough room to put him in. You could throw him out there at safety and he'd be fine.
Absolutely. Shout out Carter Blackie, too. I know we briefly talked about him, but he was another commitment from this past, like, week or two. And Ryan Mosley, who we didn't talk about too much, who's a Carrollton wide receiver, 6'4", 206 pounds. And he's got some of that go-go juice, too. He can move. So I'm very excited about this upcoming class, and there's still a lot to add to.
Yeah, I'm expecting some more juicy commits. So, you know, we don't know Kirby personally, but you know that man's always on the recruiting trail. Doesn't stop. Never will stop. So,
yeah.
Doing awesome so far.
Yeah, I expect us to have a big month of June here as well. It's usually when a lot more of the dominoes just keep falling. June, July, and then August, end of July, August here. Not strictly getting ready for the season because you're still setting up like commitments and visits and during the season and all that good stuff. But usually a lot of the dominoes fall before. And a lot of the high school players, I know Jared Curtis said this as well. He wanted everything wrapped up and done before his senior year of high school. I mean, the best part about it is these kids care about football. They care about their current team in high school that they want to go out and win state championships for. So that's just another little tidbit to add on. We're not going to be done by the end of July, but the class is going to be 85% put together by then.
Yeah. So should be fun to watch on the recruiting trail.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
We got another little bit tidbit of information this year, or this morning, this year. Oof. Rashad Bateman got extended by the Ravens, and it was kind of weird. I mean, I would have labeled him a bust of a first-round pick. But, I mean, usually if you sign that second contract with your team that you got drafted by, you're at least sufficient at what you do. He hasn't had necessarily any kind of breakout season yet. I always get pissed because he ends up on my team every single year in fantasy football. So I just pick him up off the waiver wire. I'm like, this guy's got to be good at some point, right? Wrong. He's just very, very mid.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the other side of the spectrum. I don't consider him a bust just because I think, especially now in Todd Monken's revamped offense, which shout out, miss you. But I think it's more of a running offense, obviously with Lamar and Derrick Henry. It's an insane duo. But you know, the Ravens, ever since I've been watching the NFL for as long as I have, the Ravens, I don't understand every draft. They never. Hardly ever draft a wide receiver like in the first round. I think Zay Flowers was first round, right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. And I've never understood it for the life of me. They desperately need to give Lamar Jackson some more help on offense with receivers. You know, they They have Zay Flowers, and they have old man DeAndre Hopkins, who's basically on the last leg of his career, who they sign in the offseason, and then they just overpaid for Rashad Bateman for a wide receiver three making almost $40 million is wild to me.
Yeah, it was 3 years, 36.75 million, $20 million guaranteed.
Uh-oh, Jacob. I don't mean to interrupt you. Uh-oh, the bleed is cut in half.
Oh, just like that.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we got on the Rashad Bateman thing. 3 years,
Yeah.
36.7 mil, $20 million
Fully overpay.
guaranteed. Just, I mean, a good bit of money for someone who is at the very best going to be your wide receiver two, more than likely your wide receiver three. So, yeah, it's just kind of a weird one. I mean, he was due for an extension, or they're just going to let him walk in free agency. But last thing we have on the list here is we've lost a couple promising young players in the Georgia baseball portal. One in particular that I really did not want to use or lose, Bryce Clavon, a true freshman. He was a shortstop, third baseman, played in 27 games this year, more or less as a pinch runner or a defensive alternate, but definitely didn't want to lose him. You have to imagine that we told him that we were going to portal in older guys, right? Because, I mean, he was a high-ranked recruit, high four-star out of high school, young kid, played really well when he did play for us this year. He had a couple homers, batted three something, but yeah, that was really the one that I wanted to talk about and say that I didn't want to lose, but we ended up losing.
Yeah, and that's the main one that really I didn't want to lose either. When he stepped in, he was pretty good for us. With the limited amount of time that he had, so sucks to see him go. But I am very excited for this dude that we just got in the transfer portal, Kenny Ishikawa. Never in my life did I ever
Shohei
think. Never in my life did I ever expect a Japanese baseball player to come to Athens, Georgia to play for UGA. I am so excited for this one. He, like I said, Jacob, he's two-way player, so he played for Seattle University, I think.
Yeah, somewhere way out west. I think I saw that too, Seattle University.
Yeah, so in his career he has a 4.35 ERA, 77 strikeouts and 24 walks, and 10 starts and 70 total innings pitch. Which, if we haven't been harping it on as long as we have, this team needs pitching bad.
Bad.
And I honestly, for how terrible our pitching has been, that ERA will work just fine.
Yeah. That'll work. That'll play,
Yeah,
buddy. I
that'll
wonder if we're
play.
gonna let him play both ways. I feel like
I
if we
want
make
him
him go
to.
one way or another, he's gonna be a bat.
Yeah, 'cause I mean he batted over 300 when he played in college. So yeah, he batted .312, 8 homers, 32 RBIs and 29 doubles, and he only had 29 strikeouts and over 205 at bats. That is elite. So shout out Wes Johnson.
We need that.
Very, very, very excited for Kenny Ishikawa.
We need that. Yeah, the only other player that I just want to mention that I don't think we will, at least according to Anthony Dasher, we will not lose this guy, but please don't leave. Nate Taylor, the other freshman.
Yes, don't leave.
He's a true freshman, came in against Duke at the end of the game, a couple like last weekend. Just went three up, three down. Big freshman pitcher. He's probably going to be moved to the starting rotation next year. I would hope at least, because he's too valuable of an arm to just have in the bullpen. And I think he's going to be hopefully one of our weekend starters. If not, just get him kind of ramped up and then be a weekend midweek guy or a weekend bullpen guy, which would be cool. But either
Yeah.
way, please don't leave. According to Anthony Dasher, he's not going to, but you never know.
Yeah, especially in this day and age, NIL plays a huge factor in that. So,
yeah,
I wanted to touch on something college baseball related. Our favorite university in the whole world, Tennessee baseball. They hosted the number one transfer guy in this year's portal, Henry Ford from Virginia. So, I won't be very happy if he goes to Tennessee, but I would not be surprised at all if he does go to Tennessee.
Yeah,
obviously would love Georgia to make a run at him, but I don't think so.
Give me a couple of those Virginia guys. Did you see the top 10 list of?
Yeah, it's like almost
five,
half Virginia
five of them
guys.
Are Virginia guys.
Yeah,
and it wasn't like the bottom five either. It was like number 1, 3, 4, 5, and 7 or something like that.
Henry Ford, he's 6'5". He's actually draft eligible this summer, so it would be funny if he gave the middle finger to Tennessee and entered the draft. He's currently listed as the number 73 overall MLB draft prospect by MLB Pipeline, which, okay. He does, however, have 2 years of eligibility remaining, so if you guys are huge on college baseball transfer portal, should be interesting what Henry Ford does. I obviously prefer him to not go to Tennessee, but I would not be shocked in the slightest because they'll hand him an NIL bag because they are desperate to win in any sport. So
yeah,
would love Georgia to make a run at him, but I don't think so. He's gonna want too much NIL money.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting for sure how the whole draft process and transfer portal process plays out for Georgia too. Because I mean, I just looked at the little graphic. About 85% of our roster is draft eligible, so a lot of them have eligibility to come back to college too. So I'd be very curious to see who decides to stay and who decides to actually go, and when we find out those decisions. Because is the baseball draft not, like, coming up?
I don't know why, for whatever reason, they do the draft, like, kind of right near the All-Star break.
It's in the middle of the season, yeah.
Yeah, let me see.
So that'd be early July, I think? Early, mid-July? So it's at least coming up. So we're gonna know answers on this at least in relatively soon amount of time.
Yeah, it's literally July 13th, which is literally right in the middle of the All-Star festivities. It's actually in Atlanta this year, obviously, because the All-Star game is here.
Oh,
in Atlanta.
So it is part of the All-Star festivities.
Yeah. I'm actually curious to see where... I bet this is probably going to be in, like...
Why do they do that? Why is it mid-season? I don't understand that.
I have no clue. I'm actually really curious to see where they're doing this in Atlanta. I don't know if they're doing it, like, somewhere in the Battery, or if they're going to do it in, like, the World Congress Center, or what. I don't know, but...
You can make an argument.
Yeah, I don't know. I personally don't watch much of the draft. I probably watch, like, the first, like 10 picks, and then...
The last time I watched it was when Emerson Hancock went, like, 5th or something.
Yeah, some Mariners.
I watched it last year for Charlie
Condon. Yeah, you know, speaking of Charlie Condon, shout out to a damn good dog. He is currently raking right now in Single A. So
call him up.
The Rockies have nothing to lose at all. So
call him up.
Better call that man up through the system. Don't even go to Double A, Triple A. Just call him straight up.
Yeah,
from Single A.
I know. I said this last time. It's like call him up, hang up. Call him up again, hang up. Call him up again, hang up. Congratulations, you're a Colorado Rocky. I'm sure you can you can obviously
poor man.
Skip all of the players. But speaking of the Rockies, 3-game winning streak, swept the Marlins.
Don't let them get hot, man. Don't let them get hot.
Don't let them get hot. All their fans were like, you weren't here with us when we were 9-50. Don't be here with us when we're 12-50. I was like, oh my God, that just sounds terrible coming out of the mouth.
Do want to give a little update on the Braves game. Grant Holmes, I'm pretty sure, just got pulled, and they got out of a two guys on or tying run coming to base. and they got out of it. Hey, Michael Harris
Michael Harris got
single.
a hit. Oh my
Let's
God.
go, dude.
What are we doing?
Dude, we may be the prophets, bro. We just need to trash the Braves every time we come on.
I know. Every time we come on, we need to start recording at 7:15 every single night. And just to start live streaming the game. Just be like.
Yeah. That would actually be kind of fun.
I know. And
Do a live stream of the game.
I've thought of the ideas before. There's many platforms. All right, now Wong gets to hit with a runner on base for the first time in his entire career. Wow. Oh man.
Also, I literally just saw this article while I was on ESPN, but betting public backing heavy underdog Pacers in NBA Finals. So, I don't know if that's really like the casinos talking where they want people to get off of OKC or what, but
When I was looking at it, it was 51%, 49% on the Pacers, but still pretty even. Yeah, it still says 51-49. I don't know how accurate CBS Sports is,
damn,
but
I'm gonna strike out.
it's 66% of the money line is on OKC at -455. So they're either lying
That's
to you
crazy.
or CBS Sports has no idea what they're talking about. One or the other.
So it says ESPN Bet report reported Thursday that 78% of the bets on the series winner were on Indiana, where nearly 90% of the money had been wagered was on Oklahoma City.
Okay, that makes more sense. People are looking to get the
At
plus 450 or whatever.
BetMGM, 94% of the bets on the series were on the Pacers. Interesting.
Yeah, nobody wants minus
Interesting.
700 odds. It's like,
Yeah.
put $100 on it, you're gonna win $7.
Hell
It's
yeah.
just not.
$7 richer.
The risk reward is just not there. That's just showing how lopsided of a line that they have it at right now. But
That's insane to me how big of favorites they are.
yeah.
I've never seen it that high.
No, not in the finals.
No. Dude, just give me a prime Warriors Cavs finals and it'll be just pure cinema.
Yeah.
But
I mean, everyone's talking down the finals because they don't have like firepower or superstar or whatever. I mean, the Thunder definitely have that. And Haliburton's
yeah.
definitely like a blossoming star along with Siakam as well. And the thing, I know we didn't really talk about this that much today because we talked about it the other day, the pace that the Pacers play with. They have a chance. They have a chance to outpace them because they can't let OKC get set up in a half court defense. I mean, they're gonna get put in the blender all night, the
Yeah.
torture chamber. But I think if the Pacers can get out and run like crazy, I think it'll be fun to watch at least. That's all you can ask
I
for.
remember when when the Hawks were in trade conversations for Siakam, and I'm just watching this playoffs, I'm really sad that he's not Hawk.
Yeah.
But yeah. Go Pacers.
Go Pacers, Thunder in five. All right. That's going to be it. We got episode 19 of the Gridiron Pulse in the books. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, share us on social media. See ya.
See y'all.